Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 171. Indoor season is upon us for the Coffee Club boys. We have Mr. Oliver Hoer getting after it this week, busting the rusting.
My rust will get busted.
He's going to get busted this week, leading the charge. So we're very, very excited for that. This week, that's what our main focus will be. And then we have all this fun, unique news stories that we didn't get to last week. And some new stuff from this past week as well. But before we do get into it, we do have a nice, lovely little bean shout out to start the episode off.
Yes, this just got received today.
It's a lovely bag.
It's a lovely
presentation.
Bag. Presentation 10 is 10 out of 10. I'm trying to find the card, but we got two bags.
Oh, the card was cool, actually. You should find it.
I know.
It said something on the front.
There it is.
I found it.
So,
what's the story behind it?
You can always return it. Kate Spade, New York.
Wait, why is it going?
I think it's just the card. It's just the card.
I didn't even notice that before.
Maybe the bag is Kate Spade.
Maybe
they reused a Kate Spade bag to give the beans.
So these are from the main line of Philly, but Malcolm and Molly from the Lightspeed lift, which I know Morgan mentioned that King Bob has an NIL deal with.
I think so.
And we also use it in our gym, and they're in town helping us with that setup. Molly's dad is the track's named after him, the Wisconsin track, outdoor track.
What's it called?
Wait, I thought it was...
That's what she told me today.
Sure?
What's the track called?
I thought it was the Dan McLennan track, which is named after a coach that passed away.
Yeah, that's her dad. He coached Tim Hacker when he was a sophomore.
How old is Molly? Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, the coach. That's her dad.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so she...
Must be in the 80s.
Yeah, so thank God I got my facts right there. Because she just told me like an hour ago, but lovely, lovely Malcolm and Molly in town. And then I could be getting my facts wrong here again because I was like zoning out.
First one lined up real good.
All right. But her daughter runs at Wisconsin right now. And then her son runs at Nova. So these bags are actually from Philly. So the Irish boys and all that sort of stuff, they go to this place, which is the Char and Stav Coffee. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong.
Char and Stave.
Char and Stave. Is that how you pronounce it, George? You're good at pronouncing things.
In Philly. Somewhere in Philly.
Somewhere in Philly. Bluebird Distilling.
We'll try to find it for the pen release.
4-grain bourbon aged, barrel aged, which is George's favorite type of barrel aged. It's 4-grain.
Let's not spread that. This one smells good. The barrel aged, I'm a little scared by.
Char and Stave. Yeah. So this is where the Nova boys go. And we've got two bags from them. So we wanted to say a special shout out. They listen to the Coffee Club podcast. Molly was telling me she loves all the sayings and nicknames that we have. And we appreciate that from both of you. And thanks for decking out our gym with the Lightspeed. That's been a really valuable resource. I know Alicia's been using it. So, and I also want to kind of use it because it looks fun. You kind of get
the
bungee cords.
For anyone who doesn't know, the Lightspeed, it's similar to, I don't know if we bring up their competitor right now. Yeah. It's a much cheaper version of an Alter G. That's probably the best way to sell it.
It's a way of reducing your weight on a treadmill.
Yeah.
It looks like a squat rack on top of a treadmill.
So before
it looks kind of sick actually.
Yeah, before the Lightspeed people came in, Dathan used to just hold people up. Dathan would hold them up and then they would just run.
Tie string around you.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Take some weight off.
Take some weight off. But thank you, Malcolm and Molly. We appreciate these beans, and we will put them into great use. So that's our bean shout-out.
Hell yeah. So moving on to this week, the New Balance Grand Prix is upon us, and we have many members of the team that's going out to Boston to compete in it, and one of them is our very own Oliver Hoer. For those, many of you would probably remember, actually... Shit, this was before the podcast started. I was going to say, Ollie does have a very, very good history at the New Balance Grand Prix.
I think people still remember. This is like the start of the Ollie Hoer
really
era.
Popped off.
Honestly,
he was popping off really before that
during
on the
COVID.
US scene.
True.
And then that was, boom, January, like Olympic qualifier, 331, was it?
32. So it's seventh all time indoors.
Yeah.
Maybe eighth all time now because Jakob's run 330. But top 10 all time indoors. That was when I got to shake Jake Whitecastle's hand and said, "Hi, I'm Jake Whiteman." And I said, "Hi, I know." And I ran against Sam Tanner, who also ran like pretty quick there as well.
Sam Tanner qualified for the Olympics that day.
Yeah, it was a pretty awesome track. It was the interesting time when Morgan, George, and I were stuck in the hotel. Remember, near the airport?
Yeah, so this one was in New York. This was at the Ocean Breeze track.
Ocean Breeze track,
which is very good facility. The area, not that great. So. But this was peak COVID racing.
Peak COVID. Like, we couldn't leave.
You couldn't do anything. We were staying at the Newark Hotel. Our hotel was at the airport.
At the airport, yeah.
That's where you had to stay the whole
Getting
time.
Food was difficult. I remember that. Getting food was very difficult.
You, like, head to order room service. And we just waited. I remember like waiting hours.
Hours.
For it to try and get any food.
We also got Uber Eats, and it was the funniest thing seeing all these drivers like jumping over the pillars to get to our hotel because it's just a highway in between like our hotel and the airport.
Yeah, I raced, went to bed like, I don't know, kind of late that night. And then I had an early morning flight the next morning. I had to wake up super early. And I just remember just getting my bags. And
did
then
you just walk across?
I just walked across. I just like jumped over a fence and just walked through the car park to get into the airport. I was just like, oh, this sucks.
It's literally an airport hotel.
It's in the middle of winter.
That was brutal. But now it's at New Balance. Is it the new New Balance track?
Today? It was there last year.
Yeah.
I think that was the first time.
Yeah.
No one went last year, though, from the team, I don't think.
No.
This is the first time someone on the team is running it at the track, right?
Yeah.
This
was Wait, where was it in between that? I can't even remember. Oh, they had it at Harvard sometimes, didn't they? Yeah. Or no, the other one. There's Reggie Lewis.
There's so many tracks in Boston. I keep forgetting.
It did used to happen at Reggie Lewis. And then I think it went to Staten Island for like two or three years.
Okay.
While they were building
this track,
the New Balance track. Yeah. And now, at least the last couple, maybe just last year, it debuted there.
Yeah. But nonetheless, we have Ollie in the... Do we know if it's a 1500 or a mile?
What is it, George?
You will be running... A 1500.
Yay! 1500. That's 109 meters less than what I thought I was running. Sorry.
The first entrant, Graham Blanks.
Shooting Blanks. I guess the 1500.
I guess he's under contract to run, probably. So he's got to run something.
That's sick.
He's run the 1500, shooting blanks. That's great. Who's next?
Vince.
Vinny. 331, fourth at the US trials. He's pretty freaking good.
Yeah, this field's hilarious. Grant Fisher.
Grant's running as well?
What's going
Dude,
on?
Dude, I...
Double Olympic medalist.
Are they sure they're not running? They probably think they're running the 15K, not the 1500, bro.
Oliver Hawari?
Yeah, let's go.
Josh Hoey?
Yes.
Oh, he could be...
He's on a tear right now.
That'd be so interesting how he does in a 1500. I'm not sure what his PB is, but yeah, he just broke the American 1K, 600 record, almost broke the world record.
Yeah.
Speaking of Whitecastle, his training partner, Tom Keane. Oh. Followed by Jake Whitecastle.
The
man himself.
Kieran Lum, fellow on athlete.
Well, yep.
Stewie, another showdown with Stewie.
McSwaney?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I hope they get to room with him.
This is so interesting. It's the first time a lot of those Aussie boys are doing a real US indoors.
Which is exciting because I think...
Cool. Because they always make fun of the indoor tracks being short. So we'll see.
Stewie wants those short times, bro.
Yeah, we'll see.
Christian Knob.
Knobs, little Knobby.
Little Knobs.
Shout out.
Joachim Vermeulen.
Is that the Belgian?
Belgian, dude. Wow. Who's that?
Okay, they had two.
He sounds really familiar.
Yeah, I know who he is.
He's the one that bronze medal at Europeans, maybe.
Yeah, it might be.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think one of them. One of them is New Balance.
They ran real quick.
Yeah,
and when I say they, I mean the Belgian middle distance runners.
Yeah, the Belgian middle distance runners popped off last year.
Last but not least, Joe Wascom.
So no Hobbs, no Tesla.
Yeah, I thought Hobbs was he doing the 3K.
That's his like classic. This event, this defending.
I think he won last year.
Did
I think in our small preview of it last week we mentioned Hobbs was racing it?
Yeah, I think he must have heard it and he said, "You idiots!
Yeah,
I'm not racing that."
He's in the 3K.
Boo, Hobbs!
Yeah,
I guess you're dodging me, Hobbs. He's dodging me.
He's definitely listening. He's like, yeah. No.
That was an interesting field. That was a bit of everything.
If I'm a former winner, can I choose who I room with? I should talk to
who would you like to room with?
Either Hobbs or Stewie.
Yeah.
Or we could just put all the 1500 meter runners in one room and we have to sleep in one massive bed and I dibs the middle.
They film it.
And then we have a bedtime story. We read something.
I like that.
Like Harry Potter or something.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
I think it's a cool field.
Has there been chat of fast times trying
Dathan
to win?
Dathan wants to run 3:27, so we're looking at...
Dathan himself wants to.
Dathan wants me to run. No, Dathan...
Did Jake say he wanted to run something quick? He Wyman? Always kind of does.
I think he does. I mean...
He's always chasing, I guess, the qualifier. Everyone's chasing the qualifier.
Everyone's trying to chase the qualifier. The one thing with indoors is it's a interesting... I guess, Jordy, you're...
Which
you're,
is what, as an update? 333.0?
Outdoors.
What are you talking about? Indoors? The world indoor standard.
World indoor standard is 333.5.
Is it?
Yeah. The world outdoor standard is under 333.
So
0.0.
0.0.
Okay. So people are probably trying to get both.
That'd be
those.
Nice.
Yeah.
To get. I mean, that's very fast indoors, but obviously it's been done before.
Yeah, it's been done with a broken coccyx. I remember I fell in the backyard when Carlos Villarreal was kicking the ball.
I was like, who had a broken coccyx in that race?
And I thought I ended my career before it even started. But I was fine because Jason
was so stressed.
Yeah, Jason was amazing.
Didn't you see John Ball after that?
I saw John Ball and he literally whispered to his assistant when he was trying to hold me down, doing like stretching out my hamstrings, going, "Can you hold this guy? He's too fucking tight." I was like, okay.
That sounds like my ollie.
How do you explain it to John Ball when you went in?
I said I landed on my butt and I...
Trying to kick a soccer ball.
And I heard a crack.
I heard a crack, that's what you said.
Yeah,
that's
and trying to hit a soccer ball. He just looked at me, didn't say anything, and then just went. I got on the table, and then he made me do the running, on the table running, and then I ran 3:32 indoors. But I think Ritz wants to run the standards, I'm sure. But, I mean, this is a really good time for me because I've been able to get some consistent training in the winter and the fall, which has been great because last year I had issues just staying healthy, like you mentioned with that cycle. I had the OP inflammation gooch situation, and then I had the fractured stress fracture sacrum. So being able to come through and train with the boys, train with my buddy, who me and Robert are part of the fan club of Knoxville, because we're on his Instagram.
Johnny
Knoxville, yeah, fucking whore. So yeah. the Knoxville duo, been doing well indoors. Yara's doing great.
We should give a special mention for Falk, and he's trying to get into that same race.
Yeah,
currently they're not letting him in for unknown reasons.
Makes absolutely no sense.
But yeah. he's gonna line up the day before at BU in a mile.
He said
he can't get in.
He'd rather do that because then he's gonna run really fast in that mile, which I no doubt he will run like something crazy. And then he said it's gonna be nice. He's gonna sit and watch and laugh
just
at people.
Be done.
He should just do both.
Yeah, good.
He should do both, but
New Balance is always a day meet. It's probably less than 24 hours, but
yeah.
It's only 1,500.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine. But
what I like about this race a lot, times, yes, like it'd be so nice to go run a fast time, but it seems like a very fun field for just racing.
Yeah, it'd be fun racing.
I think that's going to be awesome for you
and
in
I
particular.
Yeah, I've been on an indoor track for a while, so I'm excited to pull out I'm going to call it a George Beamish. Hope to come through at the end. And to come through at the end.
Yeah, what's it called?
George Beamish.
I don't think that's what it's called.
To come through at the end.
Have you renamed it?
Yeah.
What's going on?
what's it usually called?
Is it not called Textbook George anymore?
Oh, Textbook George. Yeah, I hope to do a Textbook George.
You invented the fucking name.
I know.
He's invented too many names.
The reason why it's just so...
No, we mustn't have talked about that in a long time.
Yeah, but Textbook George, I'm going to do a Textbook George. But the problem is I got a fitting the night before for a wig fitting because I've been able to carefully detail
that's part one.
His hair so step I can one. Put on the hair and then the headband.
Oh, a wig fitting.
Yeah, wig. Wig.
I thought you said a wig fitting.
No, a wig. So I could put a wig. So everyone thinks, oh, he's got George Beamish's hair. He's going to like do a close. So I'm hoping I can manifest
a
Textbook George kick.
I don't know if you can. Well, I guess this doesn't mean that you can't do a Textbook George, but I don't think you could go back like far enough in the race to emulate George's race strategy.
Yeah, I don't think I have the...
I don't know. Do I think you should? Because that's not... I don't think that's the best way.
Not for me
run.
The best way to run, but it would be funny if Dathan's just getting the shits when I'm at the back, and then
yeah, he'd be like,
I
"What's going on?"
Like two
Ollie?
Or three people, and he's like,
"What's
doing?"
Oh, he's just doing a Textbook George.
I'm doing Textbook George.
Should have known.
It's like, yeah, but George wins those races. Like, yeah, but I got pretty. I kicked down a couple people.
There was always a kid when you were like growing up that would always have the fastest last lap, but they were like in last place, and so then they'd get to say
they'd be like,
"Oh,
I'm almost done." Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a very interesting range of Olympic medalist in the 10K, Grant Fisher, and new American record holder in the 600.
That is quite the spectrum.
And then all sorts of people in between.
Graham Blanks. I don't know if that guy's raced.
His last race was Oh, I guess he ran the 5K after NCAA cross, but
yeah, but I don't. The last time he probably raced a mile, he was probably middle school.
Wonder what his 1500 PR is.
I feel he actually would run quick though. If you,
I think so.
Just if you watch the way he's so fit, and you watch the way he closes races, it's like okay, this guy's fast.
I think if there's a pacer. I'm sure.
Hope so.
So sure. It's going to be paced well, and if you're fit, you just hang on and then try and close that last couple laps. You run very, very quick.
And you got Stewie in the race, so if Stewie's in a race, you know that he'll be aggressive at the front. That's his MO, generally. So
I just hope I hope there's no falls.
Yeah.
That's what I hope.
How many? Yeah, that was more people than I expected, because I think that often the New Balance fields are smaller, but that sounded like a lot of big names.
A lot of big names.
12.
12, so I guess that's
maybe
a normal.
Maybe that's why Fakin is not. Currently,
it's a normal size, but on an indoor track,
12 and a pacer.
12 is pretty big field, especially if everyone's ready to go in shape.
Yeah,
but I do think that these indoor races, especially if the pacing is really quick, they do compared to outdoor races. They get way more strung out. I've noticed that. That's at Millrose and stuff.
Yeah, it gets strung out, and you think, oh, I'm super far behind, but it's 1 second or 2 seconds.
It looks way more than it really is. So that'll be cool, and then. So there's the men's 3K as well, just going through the other men's races.
That one only has 10 entrants. Also, quite a random selection. Cam Myers coming off a...
Under 20 world record. Under 20,
nice run, which we will get to.
Yeah, we'll chat about
some results from that. CPT, James West, Sam Tanner.
CPT's always at this meet.
Sam Tanner's there.
Coming out after his 355 mile in New Zealand. Prekel, Kessler, Gurley, CB Frey, OEC, Europe.
Shout out.
Coskren.
Cozzy.
This is kind of just a lot of MTC.
Yeah. That's a new thing in the indoor circuit, really.
So also quite a random field.
That was the whole field. That's such a random assortment of guys to be lined up to race at 3K.
It's kind of cool, though. I kind of like that.
It is very
cool. Who are you betting on?
That's a small field. And it's a, New Balance and Millrose are the only two indoor golds in America.
Yeah.
Which means... a lot of money and a lot of points.
And they often try to pace it really quick. Well, normally in the 3K,
was it last year? Didn't Gurma try and break the world record?
Yeah, I was going to say, normally they have at least one really good African, normally it's the Ethiopian, Gurma, for example, and they just blow the race completely open and they just run solo and run really quick, which this year doesn't really have that.
Yeah, that race was not entertaining last year.
It's been a weird race. This is the same race that, do you remember... Machal?
Yes.
When he just...
Did he run something crazy?
7:30.
7:30 flat.
Yeah. And just, he was like... He
and
was
that
like,
was when Whiteman ran really quick as well.
Yeah, 30...
I think it's 37.
That was after he won Worlds, right? He ran... Yeah. Or was it before?
I think it was the year before. He won Worlds.
It was a year.
Yeah, he ran 37. The 3K is always really weird. I mean, when Joe and I did it back in the COVID year as well, it was such a weird race when it was a 2 mile and it's just...
It was you... You, Justin Knight, and Joe Klecker.
That was
a weird race.
There was
five
people in the race. Yeah. It was so such a weird thing. So I don't know who the hell is going to win that. It really just depends who's in good shape and still there at the end, because let's say it's not fast. It's how can you bet against someone like Neil Gurley or even Coskren? I feel like they'll be real dangerous if it's...
Yeah, if it's slow.
But if
I'm picking Hobbs.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Hobbs.
I think he'll be...
He's
going
to be hard to beat, actually. When I was going through it, I forgot that he was in the race. Hobbs is going to be very hard to beat.
I'm so annoyed at Hobbs. He should be running the 1500. Hobbs, come on, bro.
He's got a world record attempt in the mile a week later.
Mm. Yeah, but it's a good warm-up. Why don't you just get the 1500 meter world record and then go for the mile world record? It's easy.
Hey, what's the date of Millrose? I was having this.
8th of Feb.
8th of Feb. Okay. So that's right. Real sneaky that Jakob's doing his mile 1 week later.
1 week later.
So he knows which time he needs to break. Because Robert was organized. Going, when we were calling down after the workout yesterday, Robert goes, so if I broke the European record, would I still get all the bonuses even though somebody else might break it a week later? I was like, yes.
Definitely.
That's the way to do it.
He's like, okay, good. I just don't want to like... I was like, yeah, no, you'll get it still. He's like, okay, good. So I got to get it now. Otherwise, next week, it might be tough.
Go for it. So, well... Those men's races will be sweet.
Yeah.
And then on the women's side, we have more representation.
Yes.
On the women's side. It's really cool because we do have a big squad that is doing both New Balance and Millrose. We have an even bigger squad at Millrose as per usual, but these guys get to go out and stay in Boston for the week. And on the women's side, we have Cinta is doing the 3K. She must be the only one from OEC. And then is the women's a mile?
The women's is a mile. Women's 3K. Should we have a little... A little gander.
Yeah.
A little gander at that. That's a bigger field. Pike of Albie.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense.
Wait, is she New Balance?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, she forgot that whole saga.
New Balance, whoever signed her at New Balance like, is like, oh, I just fucking wasted all my money.
Just wasted all that money.
George doesn't even remember.
What? Is she with Nike or New Balance?
We spent $1 million on her. For nothing.
Jordy, you just made every New Balance guy just crumple up his papers going, you...
Melknet Wudu, Ethiopia. Not sure. Hannah Nuttall?
Hannah Nuttall, she's British.
Yeah, she is.
British girl.
Leah Meyer, German.
She's the one that almost joined our team that is part of the New Balance team.
Oh. Yeah. So not.
She's good. Steeplechaser.
Emily Mackey. Emily Mackay. That girl.
Very good.
Very good 1500 runner. It's a few people stepping up. Danny Jones. Jess Hull. Sick.
Oh, wow.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Sarah Healy. Elise Craney. Melissa Courtney Bryant. Emma Coburn.
Damn.
Is that her first race back from surgery?
No, she had a race up here.
Or did she do a couple of random ones right at the end of last season?
She did some at the end, and then she raced at CU a couple of weeks ago. Hmm.
And Georgia Bell, Olympic medalist in the 1500.
Damn, Georgia Bell versus Jess Hull in the 3K would be kind of sick.
But two Olympic medalists in the 1500. Yeah. That field's actually very good.
Wait, was Center not on there?
Well, I thought it was first. And Center.
Okay. I was like, wait. Sorry. Wait, do I need to speak to an agent?
No, she is on
That's
there.
That's a fucking crazy field.
It's very good. Mm.
In terms of
that's
just
better than the men's for
heavy
sure.
Hitters,
big heavy
medalists.
Hitters,
yeah. Oh, that's
that'll
crazy.
Be an exciting race to watch. Probably one of the best races to watch. Especially next to the men's 1500.
Especially because of the dynamic of having you got two medalists from the Olympics in the 1500, but then you also have Parker Valby, who we can
probably count on her leading some of it.
She's with New Balance, so I'm sure she'll be there running in the New Balance kit.
First race
in the New Balance kit.
Must be, right?
I don't think she signed until after the season.
She was running a Nike in the Olympics, right?
Yeah. So that's an awesome field. Cinta's going to be ready to go.
Is she going to sit and kick or is she going to try
She's
going to
go in front of Parker Valby.
Honestly, if she went in front of Parker Valby, Parker would just be like, I don't know what's going on.
I think Cinta's
fit enough to sit and kick in that race, she's in a good spot.
She's in a good spot.
Because they're just going to be hammering it from the start.
Yeah, I think a lot of those women will be very ready to go. I think Cinta's pretty ready to go. She just got back from a little trip to Italy, but then she was just straight back on the track looking real good last night. I think, you know, for her, she's very fit. I don't think she wants to, like, do anything too crazy early on, but I think, like, also the sky's kind of the limit. Mm. So I think she'll just go into this race and just compete, and I know she'll have the Italian record on her mind.
What is the Italian record, just for reference?
I thought I knew it, and then it just slipped my mind. I thought it was 837, but
837.
But I don't know if that's true.
Yeah. Well,
has she ever run a 3K?
She's run a couple outdoors in more tactical races. She hasn't run
the indoor ones, apart from
maybe conference, like maybe some in college. But as a pro, she has not yet done one. She was going to do one last year, but yeah, I think it'll be very exciting to see how she can do in that.
Yeah,
but that's just going to be a sick race.
I think 3K is a good distance for, I mean, like, Cinta's a 1500 meter runner, but 3K, I'm not defending you, Hobbs, but 3K is a good distance to start off the season with, just to see how that strength's going. And obviously it's going to close pretty hard too, so it's still pretty quick,
especially when a lot of those women, and also a lot, like Hobbs, for example, are then going to Millrose and racing the mile.
Yeah, it's good.
So a lot of the women that you probably said there are also doing the mile. I know Jess Hull, probably Georgia.
Georgia
Bell is doing
it as
well.
Elise Cranny.
Yep.
She's in the
Cinta,
mile.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think they're all doing the mile. The best athletes in the world, though, do the 1500 to the 3K for Millrose. But, you know.
I forgot that's what you're doing.
I'm doing the opposite.
You've outsmarted him. Yeah. You're playing chess.
I've actually become dyslexic, and I'm looking at it, and I was like, Dathan, let's do this. And he's like, okay.
He's like, are you sure?
Sure about this? I was like, yeah, sure. Yeah. I've already won a Watermaker mile, you know? Josh is still trying to chase one, and Yara's going to put a stop to that.
I think Josh has won one, has he not?
No.
He's never won one.
That was his media statement about going to the Watermaker mile was, I really desperately want to win one. Because he hasn't won one yet.
Wow.
Because I stopped him from winning one. And then Yared's won the past.
I thought he won like the year, like the one before that.
Who won? No, the one before that. Who won that? It wasn't Josh.
Well, I guess there would have been
Well, there would have been a year break. You won the first year back.
So who won in 20?
Was it Chris O'Hare?
I think it was the one we did. I think it was Chris O'Hare.
I think it was Chris O'Hare that won the last one.
Okay, before there's, I think there's a distinct change in the
strategy
pre-COVID and post-COVID. It used to be like a 350. You guys, it's like the race was running like probably 357 pace, and then a big kick down, and now it's like, all right, let's run 350 pace for the gun,
and then kick to 347.
Yeah,
it's been a distinct.
It's been a bit of a difference, but yeah, and I know, I think Robert is going for that European record indoor in the mile, and it's held by another OEC member. Treadmills has it. I think it's 3:48.83. It was Josh, but it was never ratified. I just checked online when I was getting treatment with Robert.
What are you going to do to ratify that?
Buy another Cybertruck. I don't know. But in general, it's pretty exciting because there'll be a lot of records broken at Millrose. And also the 3K, you know, you got Grant Fish. I was about to call him Fish Fingers. Grant Fisher.
We've moved on to Millrose now for anyone that's wondering.
Grant Fisher, Cole Hocker. So you got like the 10K, 1500 meter gold medalist. I mean, there's going to be some pretty cool races there in Millers, but I think the best way to do it is the 1500 to the 3K. I think that's the best way to do it. No, but some other people are doing it
with the field that just came out today or yesterday, whenever it was. Your 3K at Millers is fucking bananas.
It is bananas. It is bananas in pajamas, and I will be in my pajamas sleeping, making sure I can
go to sleep. You'll be going to sleep.
Go to sleep and then try and kick down that last bit. But yeah, I mean, the rate. It's funny because thinking about before pre-COVID, indoors was always like fun racing, like seeing where it is. But now it's just like intense.
It's not fun anymore.
It's intense.
It's still super fun.
It's still super fun, but it's in, like people breaking world records. People are breaking records.
The Millrose has caught up to other frigging Diamond League
meet
directors where it's like, well, we're going to assemble these fields. And I mean, everyone wants to break the records because they are not as good as the other. Like they're a lot more attainable.
They're attainable, yeah.
Like 3:43 outdoors for the mile is one thing. Jared has run very close to that, but I think 3:47 indoors sounds a lot more doable.
Yeah, and I think Jared's going to be hunting that. I mean, he's been pretty close the past 2 years. So
yeah, and even if the record doesn't get broken, which I think it will get broken this year, the whole top 10 list pretty much is getting like rewritten.
Yeah,
just because no one used to. These people didn't used to do this type of stuff.
People didn't used to try so hard.
You know, when I had my breakout race at the Ocean Breeze, when I ran 3:32, if I ran a second quicker, I would have broken the world record.
Crazy.
That's crazy. Whereas these days, like people are running, averaging that in races, in tactical races. So it's crazy stuff. Crazy time to be alive.
Yeah. The only one we haven't done from the distance is
Women's Mile.
Women's Mile. Because we have Maya and Sage.
So just coming up from the 800 specialist to run a mile.
Quite a small field. Susan Adore. Dark Sky, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sadie Englehart. Is she still in high school?
Yeah, I think so.
She's full go her high school eligibility, but she's still in high school, from what I know.
Dorcas Eway?
That's Alabama, is it?
That's what I was thinking.
Am I getting that wrong?
Or just definitely Kenyan. Sage Hurd-Aclega, Sinclair Johnson, Heather McLean, Maya Ramson, and Nozomi.
Nozomi,
tiny field.
That's a tiny field, and
Nozomi runs like 100 races in a season.
Yeah,
she's like
she's still doing this one because she's New Balance, right?
She's New Balance, yeah.
So that makes sense.
She races. She's one of probably the biggest, like the most raced women's athlete, I think, surely, because I think most Diamond League she's in.
She does so much,
and she runs pretty well too.
She also tries. I think she's also one that's tried to like triple at World Champs. / Olympics before. I don't know if she did it this past one, but I think
first one
she has.
Doing the Stefan Hassan.
I know Maya is after the New Zealand indoor mile record.
Does she already hold that or no?
She holds the outdoor record, but the indoor is indoor is quite a lot faster.
What about the American record?
That's a joke that no one listening will.
No one will understand, but Maya is a Kiwi. We're just making fun of it, but she has a bit of a strong American accent. So we like to give her a little jab saying, oh, are you running for the US or running for New Zealand?
It is kind of crazy to think that if she did potentially, she's also a US citizen. So it's not just the accent thing. She actually is a dual citizen. Yeah. It would be funny if she did run fast enough to break both of them.
Does she get both then?
I don't think contract? She does.
She should though. She
but
should
you
kind of
should, yeah. Right? I don't know.
What do you think, George?
You should get all the passports that you hold. You should get all those records.
Yeah.
Something tells me you can't represent more than one country at a time.
But oh, shucks.
But you can break their records. Why can't you break their records?
What's the New Zealand mile record for the women?
I was really hoping you weren't going to ask me that.
I'm going to guess it's 4:22.
I think she ran 4:24 outdoors. to break the outdoor record.
She ran 4:24 indoors last year.
See, that's why I want to say the indoor one is quite a lot faster than the outdoor one because it was Kim Smith.
Kim Smith.
Yeah. Because, Maya, I think, has the second or third fastest NCAA mile time ever behind Caitlin Toohey.
Toohey. She had a good race at
the Scorcher.
The Dr. Colonel Sanders. Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Colonel Sanders meet.
Scorcher also 4:24.1. So maybe she was very close.
Yeah.
Oh, so she'll be definitely going for that.
Fair enough. Well, hopefully we can watch it on, what's that? It's probably, hopefully it's not on Runner's Space.
Peacock, surely.
It's not Peacock?
It's got
to
be
ABC. Yeah, we're back to the good stuff.
The good stuff on...
AKA the Discord stream.
Just check the Discord.
Oh, yeah.
But Peacock's actually really cheap, so it's actually kind of good.
Is it really?
Also,
Peacock's like $5.
Peacock's and also got some great shows in it right now.
Sometimes I just got this like thing that came up on Peacock once, and it was like, do you want to just buy a year for $20 or something? No, it was $25 for a year.
That's how they get
it. So it was like $2.50. I was like, absolutely.
That's losing money if I don't.
Yeah. I'm just losing money. Well, they've got great shows at Day of the Jackal. Day of the Jackal, shout out. Watch
what
that
is
show.
That one?
It's based on a book and an old film, but it's based on this assassin who is known as the Jackal, and it's played by Eddie Redmayne, and it's really good. Really good show.
Cool.
Jason just watched it as well and gave it the 3 thumbs up.
I don't even know what that means.
I also don't know what that means.
But I recommend you guys watch Day of the Jackal. It's unreal.
I've been watching... I wanted to ask you this earlier, and I keep forgetting, George, so no time better than the present. Have you watched season 2 of Shrinking yet?
No, dude. It's
real good, but it's a very good continuation of the first season, but it's got freaking... What's his name? Roy Keane, isn't
it? Roy Keane. He writes the show. He wrote the first season.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote the first season. He's a very talented writer.
I really want to watch it. It's high on my list, but I didn't watch a single thing the whole time I was in New Zealand.
Yeah. Shogun? Have you watched Shogun? Shogun's great.
Yeah, I watched the Shogun.
Shogun's freaking
great. Did you get around to watching Shrinking?
Cynthia and I have been banging out. I think we watched about 8 episodes yesterday.
Oh, wait, really?
We're on episode 10, and there's 12 in season 2.
Wait, the episode's the same similar length, or?
Yeah, just like standard 30-ish minutes, I think. Okay. He just has a British accent as well. I thought he was going to do an American accent because it's set in, I think, LA, somewhere in California.
It is, yeah.
And he just has a British accent.
That show is just great. It's on Apple, by the way, for our listeners, but that show is amazing.
Yeah. It's so good.
But the show that Meg and I are watching right now is Lost. season 2 of Lost.
Like,
and I forgot how good Lost is.
I never saw Lost.
I forgot how good it is.
I've heard so much
also,
about it my entire
now
life.
I know why everyone asks me why I watch Lost, Morgan and George, because it's such an Australian influence in it. Because they come from Sydney to Los Angeles. That's the flight when it crashes. Oh. So there's all these Aussies on it. There's all these backstories in Australia. And the Americans doing these... like Australian accents, it's like
that's a bad thing.
Teeth to a chalkboard. Really? It's shocking.
Where do they crash? Do
they
crash
on the island? I don't want to spoil it for our viewers.
Oh, that's like a big part of it.
Yeah, they crash on this island. It's mysterious, and it's been out for like 100 years. So I'm sure everyone knows how it goes.
And there are like 1,000 episodes.
There's 6 seasons, 25 episodes per season, and the episodes go for about 43 to 45 minutes. Meg and I are up to season 2 right now, and we never got to finish Lord of the Rings. We got to finish that.
The movies or Rings of Power?
Rings of Power. No, so she's not at that level yet. She's got to watch the extended edition, Fellowship of the Ring, 2 Towers. We're up to the Return of the King. And then we go to The Hobbits. We have to, which is, you know, I don't mind The Hobbits. They're right films. Then we go to Rings of Power. Season 1. Yeah, season 2. Very good.
Have you ever watched the old version of The Hobbit?
The animated one?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I've never seen it, but I want to watch it.
It's like, if you were just wigging out, it's great to watch.
What if you're not wigging
out?
There's
a Lord of the Rings as well. If you're not wigging out, you'll find it quite entertaining as well.
Okay, good to know.
But it's great.
Sweet.
Yeah, so that's our little pop culture.
We need to save some good stuff for training camp.
Yeah, that's just true. We should start a something. Well, you've got something.
So
is there something that comes out during training camp?
I got a Christmas present yesterday from my sister and brother-in-law, and it's the Red Rising board game. It's a board game that's inspired and made by the book series Red Rising.
So, George, were you down to play?
Which we've all read the first one.
I did, yeah, I read the first one.
Ollie and I have read a bunch of them.
Up to 6. The 7th is coming out this year, isn't it?
I don't think it's coming out this year, but it's still to come out. But it's one of those board games that you just look at it and you're like, okay, this is going to take some brain power to work out how to play this thing.
You've read, sounds like a good training camp.
You've read the first three, right?
I read something like that.
I think you read the first three that you stopped.
So it's going to be fun. So I'll bring that along. My only other pop culture thing that I've been doing, this isn't pop culture at all, that I've been doing lately, hobbies, is I've been trying to work on my geography skills. So I've been trying to learn all the countries in the world. Man, there's a lot of countries out there.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You need to play Worldle for that.
Yeah. Do
you play Worldle?
I essentially want to do this so I can just dominate world. That's essentially why I'm trying to do this. So
Do you have a map or something, like an atlas?
So I go on a website and I practice. So I'm starting with Europe.
Is it like Google Maps?
It's on GeoGuessr. It's Google Maps. No, because it gives you like a time. Like it times you and it gives you a percentage of like how many you get right. Like first try, I think. And I'm starting with Europe. I tried to do the Oceania region and
it's actually so hard.
There's so many islands and you can't, like, they're so small as well. So it's like, I don't know how you're meant to learn them. I think you got to do some mnemonics or some shit.
I'm on
Europe right now and there's all these countries in Europe that I didn't even know about.
Can we like face each other in GeoGuessr? Like, can you play people? Or
I don't know. We could start at the same time and race each other. We could do like a race. Because this is something you're pretty good at, right?
I quite like geography.
I was going to say George is the geography master.
But like, also, that sounds like a fun training.
But you know, Kai can do all 196 countries.
Really?
Not on a map, but he can list them all. He's pretty crazy. He said
What's wrong with him?
He learned it.
What's wrong with him?
He said,
"Jordy, you should have."
I don't think if he did on a map, he'd get them all right.
When we were over watching the college football national championships, you and Kai and a few other people were doing something for a 15-minute timer.
He was doing other countries.
That's the country thing.
Well,
because I was watching Robert do it, and it was quite funny because he's like, "What the hell is going on?"
So that's on a website called Jetpunk, which we've been playing a lot lately because it has general knowledge trivia.
So that's general knowledge trivia as well as...
But it also has the countries thing on this website called Jetpunk.
Cool.
That sounds fun.
It's really fun. The general... You guys would love the general... Like, the trivia ones are really fun as well. They're all good.
I started doing a bunch of trivia podcasts on long drives. Like, me and Jenna would do it.
Oh, wow.
There's just, like,
fun
podcasts that are trivia games. Well, and then we just, like, score
That's what used to be on the radio.
They're so good. That's so hard, but
yeah.
Do you have to pause it before
sometimes,
getting the answers?
Sometimes we pause it if either of us needs a little more time.
Yeah, because I wouldn't.
But it's pretty
easy
to do on the car.
Yeah.
So we're gonna have such a fun. I think 10 days is not gonna be long.
I also think that
it's gonna be over like that, especially because in those 10 days we're gonna train like 20 million times.
Everyone else is there for so much longer too. Most people are already there.
Jealous.
I just talked to Luis this morning. He got there yesterday, and he's there until after. He's there for over a month, I think.
Yeah, that's a long time. I got a proposal for you boys. What we do is we sell a certain item that Dathan has acquired.
I don't know if is that public knowledge.
It's not public knowledge, but we sell an item that Dathan's acquired.
He also doesn't own it.
Well, we'll sell it and then we'll use that for extra days at the training camp. What do you think?
I'm down.
George? Mission sell Dathan's item.
You can sell that pretty easily on Facebook.
I think we should just use Facebook, and we should also use somebody in the team that we can blame. So we might use one of the freshmen.
Maybe we can like rent it out just to get some money initially, like on one of the days when it's not being used.
Mm.
We can rent it out.
Training camp pods are going to be so fun.
There's only going to be one of them.
Yeah,
seriously,
there's only one. Unless we want to bunk, like
we get there on a Wednesday. You're right.
Yeah. We could just record every day and just
and just bank it out.
Yeah, it's just real short.
Every episode will actually just be a daily...
daily podcast?
Just daily podcast.
Just daily vlogging.
What do you guys do today?
Which I might do.
Not much.
But isn't it crazy because Florida felt like it was forever. I feel like we recorded 20 podcasts there.
How long were we in Florida for?
Over a month, surely.
That's why we got such a short one this time, because the last one was so long and it went so badly.
Well, Dathan wanted to go longer, but Scottsdale is insanely expensive this time of year as well. And I think where we're staying is a pretty amazing place.
And also with the size of our team, we have to rent out like 27 houses now.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. A house each.
One house each. That's
like Sintra and Morgan have their own houses and they're not even close.
They've separated us. Yeah. It had to happen.
But it's good for doubles. You can just go and, you know.
We can all meet in the middle.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, hey guys. And then you also run back home because you're at your halfway point already.
Yeah.
I'm just excited. I just love Arizona. I love Phoenix. I love the weather, the nature, the cacti. Didn't mention Flagstaff.
No, but I do love Flagstaff.
I knew you were about to, so I just got in there. I might drive down with Tyson rather than fly just so I can go through Flagstaff.
I haven't been to Flagstaff yet, so maybe I need to do that, George. Would you take
me? 2 hours
I'm
away.
Going. You want a flag?
Definitely.
Can I come with you? Are you going to see Mike? Michael? Can I hang out and see? Can I just sit there and watch you and Michael have a chat?
I probably should see him, shouldn't I?
I mean, Michael won't even know it's me. He'd just be like, oh, what's Olin doing here? Thought you're supposed to be out and train with NAZ Elite. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I know Michael listens to this podcast and he gets really excited when we mention that little joke that we have, which is definitely a joke and not actually
real. I wonder
real.
If any of the NAU people do actually listen to this podcast. I know like at least one does, but like
at least one does.
I wonder because we mention them so much. We mention their coach so much.
He's not their coach for much longer though.
It's true.
Do you know what we're just missing in Phoenix though? Like that happens...
Is it the waste management?
Yeah, the waste management open is the same weekend as Melrose in the Super Bowl, I think.
What a letdown.
What's waste management?
It's like the coolest
the
golf
PGA.
Tournament. It's the PGA People's Tour Championship. Oh, isn't that what they call it? The
probably.
It's because it's like, you know how golf is a very proper sport? It's I think
gentlemen
it's,
only.
Yeah, I think it's the like the biggest event that isn't. They're not as big on all these gentlemen. It's a lot more casual. I think the players and the fans have a lot more interaction.
Oh, that sounds fun.
I think it's a lot of fun.
They drink a lot. That's basically what it boils down to. There's a hole. I think it's like the 17th, par 3 or something. And you should just look on YouTube, like compilations of like hole 17 at Waste Management. If someone gets a hole in one, the stands just
create the beer.
Absolutely, they start throwing beer cans onto
the
greens.
I love this.
It's diabolical.
That sounds
so
like
if you don't want to go to Milrose, we could go there instead.
Yeah. Oh, Dathan, I broke my coccyx again.
Gotta go to Phoenix and see John Ball.
Yep, see John Ball. Genius and then go up to Flagstaff and hang out with Michael Smith and Cornbread. What's his name?
Cornbread.
That's quite good, actually.
Cornbread or was it? Cornfield. Cornfield.
Coach Cornbread.
Coach Cornbread.
Cornbread's a good name. I like that. But, yeah, shall we get into this Scorcher Bucket Dr. Sanders invite?
I swear it hasn't always been called the Scorcher.
That's definitely new.
No, it's been called the Dr. Colonel Sanders Invitational.
That's definitely new. I think the best place for us to start is with the Under Armour uniforms. Specifically Adam Fogg.
So,
oh, God.
Let's just say Adam...
It's the speed suits. I think it's just the speed suits because I think their tights were black and I didn't actually see any shorts.
But I saw Wayne wearing the colorway, the new Under Armour colorway.
But she's a different team.
I know it's a different team, but the colorway was different. So then I was expecting Fogg to have the same colorway. But then you're right. I realized he was on a different team. But that colorway for a speed suit was a very interesting, bold choice.
It's what color is it? It's gray and like white,
pretty much.
And the bottom is gray.
It looks like they took last year's uniforms because Baltimore is like they've always been gray black, and they just lift
also yellow. Like normally they focus more on like the black and yellow.
They just lift last year's one like in a bucket of bleach for like the last 9 months.
Out in the sun.
They just lift them out in the sun. And then just chuck them back on.
No, what they've done is they've literally just turned them inside out and then they've just put them back on and just been like, this is the new uniform, guys. You can
Welcome
just head on.
Welcome to 2025.
Welcome to 2025. Adam, here's your uniform. It's like, this is the same uniform, but if you turn it inside out.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the last time I saw a worse uniform.
And what we're really referring to for people that haven't seen it is it's very revealing.
Yeah.
And just the photo, that is a big issue.
The photo I saw was quite revealing. And I imagine Fog Dog doesn't give an absolute rat's ass about it, but I imagine like that is not going to be worn by a lot of people then, that speed suit. Like they're going to probably wear
the tights. Maybe they did on purpose though, just to get attention.
I mean, I got a good...
Wisconsin has been known to wear light gray.
white.
Don't you guys have like light gray shorts sometimes?
No, we wear white.
Red and black.
I'm trying to think of something I've
we
seen
had
in
white
light gray
shorts
before.
That were a bit questionable.
Yeah, particularly if you like had been going to the bathroom a lot.
Yeah, gray. I'm trying to think of gray. There's some random grays from Texas. I think sometimes has grays.
Texas.
I don't know.
OSU.
Do they? I don't know.
Ohio State University.
Ohio State.
Yeah. They probably have they done do. A light gray.
Right.
Before.
Sorry. The Ohio State University.
Put some respect on it.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate colorway.
So
okay,
Let me give you guys a question. You're going to run either the greatest race of your career or the worst race of your career, but you have to wear that speed suit. Are you wearing it?
Wait, break that down again.
So you're either going to have...
Here? What the question is... you're telling us there's a 50-50 chance.
50-50 chance that you either have the worst race of your career or the best race of your career, like the craziest race ever, but you have to wear that speed suit to have the chance to run that best 50%. Are you doing it?
What's the alternative?
You just have an average race in...
And you wear a good...
And you look good.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm taking that chance. If every time I lined up, I had a 50-50 chance of having the best race of my life, you're going to have a pretty good career.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because every two races, you're going to have one potentially.
No, but it's 50-50 every time. So you could just get on a run of...
Yeah. It's like heads or tails.
Of the worst race of your career.
I'm taking that.
You're taking that, Geordie?
Well, and I have to wear that?
You have to wear that speed suit, yeah.
You'll be so famous. Wouldn't that be from a fan standpoint, wouldn't that be so exciting to watch someone who you knew they were either gonna have the best race or the worst race and there's no in between?
Yeah, that
would always want to watch it. It's like gambling. Yeah. It's pretty much gambling.
You would gamble on it for sure.
I'll take that on.
I think Mario would like that speed suit.
Don't even get us started. The Spanish Rocket.
But I mean Foggy had a good race. 353.
He did.
Good start to the year.
Good.
Behind,
he was third place. Was he
third? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
behind. Cam Myers won the race, 3:53 under 20 world record, breaking German Fernandez's world record from 2009. I don't know if you know who Ollie. Do you know who German Fernandez is?
I know he was a phenom.
Yeah. So in our generation, like especially if you were like into the high school, like the U.S. high school slash college scene when we were younger, he was the biggest fucking thing ever. He had this amazing high school, and then as a true freshman in college, he ran 3:55, just destroyed everyone, and broke the world record. Pretty epic that his world record has stood until now.
That is
Cam Myers broke it very nonchalantly. I don't even know if he knew that the world record existed.
He's been breaking so many of them. He's like, I don't know what's going on.
He's transcended. Like, I didn't even think, like, when I was thinking about him running, I didn't even think like that's something that like, oh, that's a big deal. And it obviously is a very big deal, but he's just so good that it's so casual.
Well, for him, like he ran 3:50 was his best mile last year. And like people don't talk, I mean, people do talk about it, but like 3:50 for...
He's probably under 18.
He was 17.
Was he? Or is he?
17 or 18. Still around that age, insane. 3:50.
Was that?
When I was 17 or 18, I couldn't like... put my pants on without falling over.
Did he break the outdoor? Is the outdoor mile record crazy?
I think he did break it because Jakob had it.
You think so?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was a Kenyan or Ethiopian might have it
from like world.
Crazy as a junior as well. That'd be the thing.
But it definitely said indoor world record.
It was the indoor one. It was just 3:53, amazing race. He looked like he was just out there putting on a clinic.
He looked very comfortable.
Very relaxed.
He's so strong.
His style has always been like that. Have you noticed that? When he's running hard or slow, it's just the same.
Especially because it was very evenly paced. Like, it wasn't a big last lap.
No, it was the same.
Not afraid to lead.
Also, new buzz cut. Love it. Yeah. Love the new buzz.
Does look good.
He looks older with it, I think, personally, but he's still baby-faced.
Do you think he's got a world record bonus?
That's what I was going to ask. Surely.
For like a junior world record?
I hope so.
Surely in his Nike contract is
like $1 million.
Yeah, probably a billion.
I would say $1 billion New Zealand, which is about 500,000 maybe.
Yeah. It's just pretty good still.
This is pretty good, yeah. You could buy it.
You just can only spend it in New Zealand.
It's pretty worthless.
that's the biggest barrier. You just buy a lot of Whittaker bars,
that's it. Yeah.
I hope there's a bonus for that.
He should have a bonus, surely.
He's got a useless agent if he does it.
I mean, JT surely put that in because he got that contract when he was 16.
How many world records does Cam have?
Three.
Too many.
He must have a bunch.
I think he has some others. He has a 3K one. I think he has a 1500 one, a mile one.
I don't know.
Now he has four, maybe. Either way.
The thing is, Jakob ran so quick. This must be on.
Yeah, but Cam's seconds ahead of Jakob. I saw something on social media. I don't know how factual it actually is, but they had the two next to each other. Comparisons on age and how quick they're running. And Cam's a couple seconds ahead.
Really?
So, yeah. Wow. So Jingi's gonna have to
get a time machine. Get
Philippa to really start doing that lactate threshold and start proving that, you know, their genes are superior. And when it comes to running quick when you're young. But
I'm going to say there's a 100% chance that world record gets broken next week.
Oh, at Milrose?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well,
by him.
What if he wins it and runs the world record? Then he has both. Can you imagine?
That'd be pretty baller.
He has the world record and the junior record.
Yeah, but no, he's looking amazing. It's cool to see him over here in the US doing 3 weeks of racing. It's a good way to do it, I think.
He is running Wanamaker, right? Because you're right, that is going to be three. That is going to be three in a row.
I believe so.
Yeah, sorry, I meant 2 weeks from now.
Yeah. So that'll be sweet. I think on the women's side, it was cool to see Caitlin Tui getting a dub after a bit of struggles last year, coming back from some injury stuff since turning pro. Always good to see her back on top. I don't know how, do you guys think, because they still do the golden ticket idea where the winner from this past meet, Dr. Sanders, automatically gets a start at the Milrose Wanamaker Mile or the, what's the women's one called?
Same, I think.
They both want to make a mile.
I think they both want to make
they are now.
Oh, okay. But if, what happens if, so Caitlin Tui, I think, is running the 3K at Milrose. Do you think that they give it to the second place or they just say it doesn't exist anymore?
I think they did. When Drew Hunter won Doc Sanders and he was already in something, didn't they give it to Eric Holt or something?
I can't remember.
Or am I making that up?
I think Eric Holt got that spot outright. But I'm not sure. I mean, I would say they would because they would need to put a wild card in there, surely, if they're advertising it.
Yeah. I think you should have to win.
So you just, if you don't win, you don't get it?
Yeah.
If you win, you get it, but then you don't have to. If you don't use it, then it just disappears.
Obviously, neither of them needed it. But I don't think the guy who got second.
But it's always exciting to have the wild card person in the race.
Yeah.
To have someone that you knew got in from doing well in a race 2 weeks before.
That's the appealing thing of having that wild card.
And they often run quite well.
Who was second to Caitlin?
Jeez, you're asking a great question, which I should
know. And who was second to Cam?
And it was actually pretty close.
Fistus Leggett was second in the men's.
It was like a close race in Caitlin Tui one as well. And I just watched it. But my brain doesn't remember.
Parker Valby?
Yeah, I think it was
Parker Valby. was she in the New Balance kit or not? I can't.
Who knows?
But
we never know. And there's no way of finding out. That's the crazy
thing. Yeah, I was going to say, we probably can't find out.
It's a shame there's no results or something like that.
We'll find out, I guess, if there is a wild card in there, George. If there isn't, then we'll know that answer that they don't give it to the person unless you win it and you don't have a spot. Or we'll find out who got second
at the
Colonel Sanders backyard bucket
KFC champs.
KFC runoff.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of young guns, can we give a shout out to this young Kiwi by the name of Sam Ruth? Sam Ruth, 15 years old, 401 outdoors.
Ruthless, absolutely ruthless, baby. He was ruthless.
401 outdoors, that means he's probably running about 358 indoors. Just say he's broken four at 15.
I'd say that's probably about right. Dude, what's happening in New Zealand, bro? They're starting to get good runners.
See, that's what I
inspired a generation.
Yeah, inspired generation, George.
He didn't know that running existed until George won World Indoors.
When they realized that you could actually, New Zealanders could actually be good at running, they're like, oh, damn. I forgot about Nick Willis, but
that kid trains with Sam Tanner, so that probably helps.
Oh, that probably helps. I forgot about Nick Willis too. Nick Willis was pretty good back in the day. But Jordy, you actually did inspire a generation of runners.
Yeah, so he was in the race where Sam Tanner ran 3:55, and he was fourth or fifth or something. Dude,
it's a good race to have.
15 is insane.
It's insane.
Running 3:55 in Australia and New Zealand is
insane.
And just like
a 5 second conversion.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a 5 second conversion in my book. But the insane thing is, like, I mean, maybe it's just, I don't know what it is, but all these young kids are running super fast. Like when I was 15, what was your mile when you were 15, Morgan?
I started running
asterisk.
When I was 15.
I think I started running when I was
16. I'm trying to think what my 1500 was. It was probably, I probably would have had a 420 mile. Something of that.
And now kids are running 401. Like, how could we compete back then?
It is crazy.
It's crazy. Kids are running so fast, so young. It's cool. It's definitely really cool. But man, it makes me scared if I was going back in time. And
what's crazy is if he has, I just don't imagine he will have another crack at it this season in New Zealand, just unless he went to Australia or something. There just isn't really another situation where he could break four.
Murray Plant.
It is a mile, isn't it? Mm.
Murray Plant.
I'm sure he's racing.
If Ruthless is listening, I'm running Murray Plant. We'll get you in.
He
We'll get another opportunity.
If he broke four, he would be younger than...
Youngest of all time.
Youngest ever to do it. Younger than Jingi.
Unless he turns 16 in the next couple
and
of months.
And Jingi did it at pre, I think, didn't
he? Yeah.
So
he
how, did, yeah. How was Alan Webb when he ran something insane? He was
Alan was probably... When he did his one crazy one, he was probably 17 or 18.
Okay, so he was
in his last year of high school. Yeah. But he also ran 353.
Yeah, that's insane. The two youngest are Jingi and Cam Myers, so that's pretty good company.
That's a good company to be in.
So,
I don't want to put too much pressure on him to actually do it.
Yeah.
It's all good if it doesn't happen.
Okay. So, Jingi was younger than... Like, Cam Myers was older than Jingi when he broke four.
Yeah, the big headline was Cam Myers is... become second youngest person ever.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But it was like 8 days or something. It was really close. Jeez.
Crazy.
It's a silly stat, but
I don't like that stat. It's like you're younger than fucking most people in college when they get that shot at BU on the short track. So
yeah,
it'd be interesting. Yeah.
So moving on to Kermit the Josh, which we already talked about him last week, just brief at the end. We just heard before the pod, he's got a new YouTube video coming out.
New episode.
This week, apparently, is it?
Yeah. Apparently, I think it's this week. He did one of those classic YouTuber things. I'm sure Morgan knows.
Yeah, I probably do it all the time.
Like the David, you know the David Dobrik thing where you have the camera next to your side of your face and you're like talking to them like you're having a conversation with them in your Cybertruck?
Wait, was this on Instagram?
Yeah, and the camera's here where Jordy's standing and Jordy's like, the camera's like looking side under his face when he's driving.
I got to see what you're talking about.
And he's like talking to it, and it looks like what most YouTubers do, I think.
Do I do it?
Isn't
Morg has it facing him at the front because he's got some class. But
this video,
is it just a breakdown of his contract? Just every clause in the contract.
Is this the right video? Or is it on his story?
That one. That's
okay.
One.
This is just someone filming him.
That's what I'm saying. That's like the standard YouTube, I think, kind of setup. Yeah, but
time trial today. We need to see where we need to improve.
Hell yeah, I'm hyped. Time trial. That's gonna be exciting. Everyone after the last video was like, "Bro, enough of your Cybertruck. Let's see some actual running running content." So him doing a time trial is gonna be very entertaining.
Wait,
compared to the last one.
The first episode wasn't him running. It was just a.
The first episode was...
Who's he employed to do it?
That's a great question. The first episode was so bad that there was a video that came out shortly after on YouTube that got a lot of views that was like everything wrong with Josh Kerr's
YouTube breakdown.
There was a breakdown of how bad it was. That's how bad it was.
You should give him a call and say, "Hey man, like I can help
but
you
also
out
here." But also that guy just gave him like free like good tips as well. So he probably appreciated getting that video. But it just did not make... I don't know if we already talked about this on the podcast, but it just did not make him look very good. As a person.
Oh.
He didn't seem very personable.
Does he go for that though?
Well,
he's always kind of gone for that abrasive.
But the thing is, there's a lot of people on YouTube who are making content as athletes that are super arrogant, and people, they're very likable still, you know, if that makes sense. Like there is a way to do it that's correct. And I think the thing was, people, if you see Josh Kerr making a YouTube video, like what you, and this is like essentially what the guy said in the video, so this is not really original thoughts necessarily, but it's like you want to see the behind the scenes of like training and stuff and like some teammate, like some more humanizing things. And you definitely, want to see the training that he's doing because that's going to be interesting and exciting. He trains, like to see what he does is like one of the best athletes in the world. Interesting stuff. But the video was more a compilation of him. It was like him going to, I think, the Grand Slam stuff. Like it was like him doing like media stuff, going to like this fancy dinner in Malibu.
Not very relatable.
Him showing off his Cybertruck. And then it was just like, he's like, "Oh, wow, this guy. Yeah, where's the personality?" Which obviously he has a lot of personality, but it just was not. Didn't come
conveyed
through.
Well.
So, but it's his first video. I'm sure they'll get way better. And they'll be really good. I'm sure.
I want to start a YouTube show. It's just a live stream of Gus.
You've been talking about this for years. Literally years.
Well, the problem is I can't get the pen to paper. Like
he's too hard to get tie down.
He's too hard to tie down.
He's always up and about.
Sponsorships.
He's just always busy.
Like, you know, Chewy's stepping in to try and sponsor it, but then Gus said no to Chewy, and then now we got to deal with other sponsorships. But
Gus's minimum is like 10 mil or something.
Yeah, something crazy like that, because he's got too much tied up with the coffee club. But I mean, it's funny, Morgan, you mentioned that, because since TikTok almost got taken away from us 400 years ago, I was like starting to try and like work my reel algorithm better because I had been off Instagram reels for a while.
What does that mean, trying to work my algorithm?
Like click on certain links to like when you know how you have the Discover feed and then maybe like one where it's like got the dark fantasy ones, like choose which house you would want to reside in after a big quest. I was trying to work on those ones because I love those ones.
Okay, I get
anyway,
it.
Anyway.
Or you're just talking into it, like telling the phone, telling it what you want to see.
Yeah, yeah. But then I kept seeing all these other high school guys doing content, like running content. And then I started going down that loophole. And it was pretty incredible to see how many of them were there.
There's a lot of people
like that there was this, there was one that I was watching.
Some people do all content now. It's
and
crazy.
This guy, he's got a very nice voice, like similar to you, Morgs. When you got a nice voice, he doesn't overlap. He doesn't overlap of talking to, like about his day and about running and like what's important to be a good runner. But every video is him just making pour over.
Yeah,
like every video.
Oh, you're talking about he runs for
Texas.
That does sound familiar.
He doesn't run for Texas. He runs for a smaller school.
Oh,
you're talking about His series on Instagram was called The Daily Mile.
Yeah, that's it. I was watching that.
Wasn't he a Tin Man intern or something?
Brock.
I was watching his and he was just making pour over every day, like every start of the video. And it was
amazing.
It was funny because I was like, the first two ones I watched, I was like, he's kind of annoying. He's only showing the same pour over. But then after watching multiple of them, I kind of enjoy seeing him doing pour over. And then I'm thinking, oh, that's what it's all about.
The routine.
It's really nice to watch. And then he would talk about like him doing time trials or him having easy days. And
they do a great job.
Watching him do that and then watching multiple other athletes do them, it's funny to see.
And then watching Josh.
Well, that's the thing. It's funny to see somebody who probably is at the highest end of the sport, but they're not as easy to watch.
It was because the biggest difference is you could tell Josh was just like it was like branded stuff pretty much. It was like he's paid someone to do it, or the brand has paid someone to do it.
It's not authentic.
And he wasn't like doing him himself.
Yeah, it's not authentic,
which makes a big difference.
Do you think that's in his contract? His new contract, he has to put out because now he's an ambassador type deal. He has to put out a YouTube video once a month for the next 100 years.
Yeah, that's probably what they're making him do.
Till 2034.
That's the thing. I'm excited to see ambassador version of Josh Kerr. Like when he makes that transition, what does that look like?
The thing is though, his whole image,
that transition was like 2 years ago.
His whole image and branding though, do you think, I don't know who said this. Maybe it was you, Morgs, but
I'll give myself credit. I remember Morgs saying this last week in the pod.
I think you did say this.
At the very end.
About Josh Kerr. Does he really align with Brooks? The run happy kind of thing. Like, we talked about it because I remember now. Yes, we did talk about it because Marco Abrol. We're thinking he's more of a Brooks vibe than Josh is the Nike. Maybe Brooks is making a turn. Maybe this is the big signing. Is like Brooks.
What's
we're not about.
What's their new slogan?
It's not run happy anymore. It's run over people with a cyber truck.
Cyber run. Run the
red light on Cybertruck. I don't know.
The whole Cybertruck thing was just so tone deaf. It was like, bro, people did not think the Cybertruck is that cool of a purchase, man.
It looks like the Warthog from Halo.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like, which is cool.
That's cool.
That's cool, actually. I'm going to take that back. But it is interesting to hear him make that joke when a lot of athletes who are runners really aren't about that vibe of luxury.
The other thing is you can do it in the right way. It just wasn't done quite the right way.
That's true.
So, whatever. So, yeah, that's... Wait, he's racing... The Milrose Mile?
He's racing. He wants that Wanamaker Mile, yeah.
He wants that, okay.
Yeah.
So, that's when we'll
so he's him. Racing that. I'd love to see him race Jingi again at some point indoors, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
Probably not indoors.
They're not going
to
be slamming together.
Unless they both go to Europeans and or Worlds.
I know Josh hasn't done Europeans, though, ever. Has he ever done Europeans?
Maybe not.
I don't think he's ever done it.
He does have his gold medal from World Indoors, though, I think he'll be pretty content with that. I don't think he's going back to China.
Yeah.
I have a feeling he's not going to China.
Jingi's going to China?
Jingi is going to try. Yeah, he mentioned
He said, when I saw him, maybe he said maybe China. He said definitely Europeans, maybe China.
In his post,
When I texted him last night, he told me maybe China.
He texted me asking for Geordie's number, and I said...
I said
no. You're talking to me, not George.
I have his number in my phone just from the podcast thing, and I forget it. And then sometimes I see it, and I'm like, I could just FaceTime you right now.
Why don't? Yeah, he'd love to hear from you. I bet.
FaceTime him
I should. I do DM him more.
I wonder if he saved your contact or if
definitely
he did.
I mean, he did. I don't think he did. I mean, I'll call him just to ask him that.
Do you reckon he's ever watched an episode after his interview thinking like, what is this about? And then just, or he's just like, oh, this is just a PR thing.
Every week we should just try FaceTime on the
pod. Until we get blocked.
Day 20.
Until we get blocked.
Day 20 of FaceTime.
He would fucking hate us. He would hate us. I told you the story.
We need to know if he's going to China or not.
The funniest thing is though, if he did answer, he's just on the treadmill. It's like, oh, sorry, bro.
That would be sick.
Infinite threshold.
I can't tell with him if he's like how into running he is in terms of.
He's into motorsports. He loves motorsports.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if he's the type of guy. I think he's pretty aware of what other people are doing, and I know Henrik is super, super into it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if Jakob is the type of guy that would actually like listen to a running podcast. I don't think he would.
I think he would be interested in other stuff, surely. If his life's controlled by it. But I mean, yeah, Josh bought a Cybertruck. Jakob's raising a young gal. So
they both got a lot going on.
Yeah, they both got babies to look after.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, is there any one other story maybe before we start to wind down is the announcement of Drew Hunter to ASICS. Which just happened.
I love it.
2 weeks ago, we talked about Tin Man and we said, oh, yeah, we can't really talk about what's going on with them because we don't know. But Drew has just come out, signed with ASICS. Very good for him.
Also good for ASICS. I was talking to Max upstairs. There's only like one other athlete that's with ASICS, which is Rachel MacArthur. Other US-based athletes, I don't think there's many ASICS athletes out there.
I'm trying to think now.
I think there's Drew and Rachel, the only two.
There's no road runners. There's got to be some road people.
There might be road people, but on the track.
Yeah, there's a bunch of road. Like Sarah Hall, Emma Bates.
Yeah.
Right?
But on the track specifically, not really. So it's good to see them branching into the US.
They always would have their like one big sprinter
or
jumper.
Yeah, because they had Freddie.
Which was Fred.
And then he said,
until
out of here.
Yeah, things went downhill.
Yeah, no, it's great to see Drew. I mean, Drew's contract was legendary when he signed it with Adidas, and it's good to see him continuing his journey.
That's the end of an era right there.
Yeah.
It really is. It really is. The big high school Adidas contract.
We tried signing Drew, but we just couldn't afford him. Couldn't get the numbers.
Couldn't make the numbers work. But it'll be interesting is what happens with him and his training setup now, which we don't actually really know exactly what's going to happen with the training setup, but I think he's going to... I mean, stuff will stay normal, like the same as it was in this past year, as much as possible for him, I think, being coached by his parents.
Yeah.
Hopefully he can still have the rest of the gang around as training partners as well. We'll see.
Did he mention how long the contract's for?
I think it was like 100.
100 years? So similar to Josh?
Yeah.
same as Josh's. Yeah.
Ambassador.
The ambassador role?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still don't get with Josh. Sorry, back to Josh. Like, how do you have a contract that switches from like pro athlete to ambassador? Is it like, if you don't run fast enough, like 1 year, you get demoted to ambassador? Because you would have to imagine the ambassador just, like a big part of that means like a lot less money, right?
It probably just like, maybe it's not even a switch. It's just like, at the bottom, it's just like, there's a guarantee that when you want to finish running, we will continue to support you as an ambassador.
But do you think the contract that he just signed for 10 years is the same amount of money every year?
No, regardless of whether he's running or not.
Surely it can't be.
No. I see that. If Brooks did that, they are financially as dumb as a doorknob.
Irresponsible.
It is irresponsible because, yes, Josh is going to have a lasting effect on Brooks for generations. However, if you want to get another Josh Kerr in the next 5 years, that money needs to go somewhere. And if you're paying him the same,
Josh Kerr has to go the new one.
Yeah, the new Josh Kerr, the new and improved one that they model and they make in the laboratory, and then they'll send him out. But I don't see them paying him the same money he would be paying.
Well, he's just not nearly as valuable.
Yeah, exactly. So he's probably getting paid really, really good money as an ambassador, but he wouldn't be making the same because that money needs to go somewhere else, you know, to run over people, which is their new motto. Brooks, not run happy, run over people.
Yeah.
I mean, my question is for this, does his extension, back to Josh Kerr talk, is his extension also aligned with Denny Mackey's contract at all? Like, is he just separate from that, from Brooks Beast? Is he separate from...
They would have separate, but I'm sure that if Josh is signing for a longer period of time, Danny
would have signed as well. Because that's my question, is that surely they want to keep the guy that's keeping Josh in this level.
Danny was in the photo.
He was in the photo.
It looked like a high school kid.
Yeah, he just
really.
He just announced what university he's going to.
I've decided to continue my athletic and academic career
at Brooks University.
Brooks University. That's what it looked like.
It did look like that, actually. I didn't even...
It's always to be a professional athlete.
Ah, haters
this
in the
like
building.
The best scenario I could ever ask for. As, you know,
why are we... We should be making fun of this, but...
...to college coaches.
Oh, like, yeah.
What a dream scenario. I'm working with my best friends, and I have an amazing coach that can take
me to
the
this
top
way too much time.
And we get to show off the brand that is amazing to work with and makes the best gear.
Yeah.
This one.
Puts the hat on.
Actually, the hat and everything.
Hand on the shoulder.
Brand
he did put
to,
the hat on.
Like, go the rest of your career and to really stamp my name on the sport. It's really fun.
Yeah. You also didn't mention the brand once.
You didn't say by name, yeah.
So we didn't give the brand too much attention there. Wow. Sick. He does deserve it.
100%. I mean, like, I think Brooks is...
I want to know
in
if
debt to him.
I want to know if like that will spark a someone else in the sport to do something similar.
Yeah,
like that'd be really interesting if the impact he's talking about making on the sport is actually that.
Next week we come and announce our 10-year contracts as well. That'd be pretty cool.
Coffee Club ambassador.
Who do you think? Okay, to our fans, who do you think's had a bigger impact on the sport, Coffee Club or Josh Kerr?
That's a good question.
Who has had a bigger impact on your perception of the sport? Is it Coffee Club or is it Josh Kerr? And honestly,
comment below.
Comment below.
Let us know.
Let us
We'd
know.
Love to hear.
Also, like and subscribe.
What impact has Josh Kerr had on you?
And then next week we'll do Jakob. Next week we'll do Jakob. We'll do like
he's showing up in their nightmares, probably. Honestly.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Yeah.
I think that's a lovely place to close this.
That is a
yeah. Well, Ollie, best of luck this weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Get it going. Yeah. Get it started. Bust that rust.
I'm gonna bust that rust.
And everybody, go. You're gonna have to tell me which day it is. It's Wednesday. Go wish Ollie happy birthday on
Wednesday the 29th.
So it's yesterday when it comes to this.
Yeah. It actually is Wednesday.
Yeah. So it's the day after. You still wish
the
me happy birthday.
The day before.
Yeah.
But still wish me happy birthday.
Week. Yeah, thank you guys.
Wish him happy birthday.
It's birthday week, which means that everybody has to be nice to me. So I was able to pull that one out. I made Tyson get a coffee for me this morning.
Really?
Well, I didn't make him. I asked him if he could get me a coffee. He's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, I can pay you. He's like, no, it's fine. I'll get you a coffee.
It's your birth week.
Ollie's birth week.
Birth week. Thank you guys. Shout out to Mom. Thanks for you know, doing your job.
Birthing you, brother.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's been episode 171 of the Coffee Club podcast. Thank you so much to everyone for tuning in. And we look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. Bye-bye.